Desire your prayers today. The Lord bless these moments we have to look into His Word. I'm going to just paraphrase some things without reading all the scriptural account. But when you think of God making a lot out of little, on the day or the night that Christ's birth was announced, He came as a babe, just a little. He was small. He was just a baby, just like any other baby that's born in this world. He was a baby. But there was so much in that little bundle. There was so much. And through the providence of God, the love of God, and the mercy that God has bestowed upon every one of us, through that offering of love, it brought hope and help and change to a world that was absolutely lost and in darkness and floundering. There is light in the world today because of Jesus Christ and the love of God. There is hope in the world today for a change. There is hope for redemption. There is hope for a new life because of the love of God and because of that little bundle of love that God sent to humanity those many years ago. Wise men sought Him. Kings sought Him. Shepherds sought Him. Angels proclaimed Him. And there was so much when you think about, and I pray that you'll take some time over these next couple of weeks to spend a little time thinking about and meditating on the proclamations and all that was announced and proclaimed to humanity through God's providence, through His creation, to those who would be willing to hear. I think of two who were in the temple, Simeon, Anna. I believe it was Simeon that said, "Lord, I got him in my arms. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation that you proclaimed. It's here. I have nothing else that I have to see. There's nothing more to be fulfilled to me. I've heard that this was coming, and now my eyes have seen it. Now just let your servant depart in peace." And Anna, when she saw the child, how she prophesied. There's so much that was wrapped up in that little child that was born in that lowly situation on that night. This morning, my little burden is prized possessions. Prized possessions. I'd like to turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 16 and 17. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written. There obviously was something special about this occasion that the Lord took note of. There were people who loved Him, who spoke of Him often. They feared Him, not in quaking fear, but they revered Him. They respected Him. They acknowledged Him for who He was and what His rightful place was in life. And in doing so, they gave Him the reverence that He deserved. And it says the Lord hearkened. He heard that. And He wrote a book of remembrance. And I'll tell you, folks, I believe that book of remembrance is still there. And I believe that there are still things being added to that book of remembrance. For those, every one of those who is willing to proclaim the name of the Lord and speak about the name of the Lord and speak about what He does. And when we come together in our worship services or in our private devotions and we proclaim before the Lord, "Thank you, Father, for all you've done for me in my life. Thank you for the help you've given to me. Just this day, Lord, I heard the whisperings of the enemy in my ear. And I stopped because I didn't want to listen to that. And I got on my knees before you and I said, 'Lord, will you help me? Will you guide me?' And Father, you were willing to do that for me." Those are the kinds of things I believe the Lord loves to hear. And I believe that a book of remembrance is being still written for those who feared His name and speak about those kinds of things. And when we come together on our services on Wednesday evening, I pray to God that there will be things that He has revealed to us, things He has done for us that we're willing to proclaim and share with one another, victories that we have gained, things that the Lord, little nuggets here and there. It doesn't have to be long, protracted comments, but just to stand up and say, "You know, today I had a real battle on my hands, and the Lord came in and He blessed me with a song, He blessed me with a scripture, and He lifted me out of that place, not testifying for the devil, not testifying for the enemy, but testifying for the glory and power and the salvation of the Lord, what He does for us." And then He says, in verse 17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." The children sing a little song pretty often, sang it this morning, titled Jewels, number 10, in the little children's book some of you have in your bookshelf on the church pews, book rack. Jewels. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. I want to proclaim to us today all that God designed his salvation plan to be was to be a deliverance for mankind, to pick him up out of a troubled situation and put him on a higher plane, a plane of righteousness, a plane of peace, a plane of holiness before the Lord. It was something to transform an individual, something to make a change for an individual. And everything that God has designed his plan of salvation to be through His Son, Jesus Christ, folks, it works. If a man will let it work, it works. It'll work in his life. I'm satisfied that there will be those who will make it inside of God's heaven that you and I will never know anything about and whom we might even have a raised eyebrow wondering if they could make it. But there will be those who have allowed the saving grace of God and the power of the blood of Jesus to work in their lives, and they have been saved and will make it inside of His heaven because God's plan of salvation works. It changes lives. It has changed many a life. It has taken people off of skid row. It's taken drug addicts, alcoholics. It's taken those who are just racked with depression, those who have had almost to no more hope in life. And the Lord has spoken to them. I've heard stories, and you have too, of someone who was just about in the place where they had gone to the depths of despair and the length as far as they could go, just about to take their own life. And the Lord stepped in and would stop. "Don't do this. Don't go that way. I have something better for you." God knows how effective and effectual His plan of salvation is. And He has jewels, folks, in this world from the dawn of creation until today, from when those who have heard the message of God and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, He has jewels that have been in the most despicable situations of life that have heard about the message of God and have been willing to turn to Him and be saved. And the Lord has a book of remembrance written because they speak often of what the Lord has done for them. His jewels. The Hebrew word means possession, property, valued property, peculiar treasure, or a treasure. Now turn to Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 10. Proclamation of the angel to the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Adam Clark's commentary on that little phrase, "peace, goodwill toward men," stood out to me as I read it. Men are in a state of hostility with heaven and with each other. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But Christ came to change that. He came to change men being at hostility with heaven. He came to change that men were at hostility with one another. Oh yes, we still have hostility in the world we live in today, because there are those who will not accept the plan of God and salvation. But hope is there, folks. And there have been drastic changes in this world because of Christ Jesus. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And the hostility that man has had with heaven, many a man has found peace in his own life, peace in himself, peace with his fellow man, and peace with God in heaven. Because he was at enmity with God. He was separated by a gulf. But through Christ Jesus and the proclamation of the angel, here's what I say to you. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's a change that's coming. There's something that's going to cause there to be this enmity that is there. I can break that down for you. This enmity that is there, I can cause there to be a bridge between it. I can cause it to be overcome. I can cause you to have peace in your mind and your heart with your fellow man and with me. Because I am God. And I have a plan. And my plan will work. And it does work. And it has worked. And it continues to work. And it will work for you today. It will work for every one of us. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Now that was the proclamation of the angel. Folks, that was not just a simple proclamation. That was a proclamation from the Most High God, sending a message to the shepherds. And they said, "Let's go see this thing. Let's go see what it is that the Lord has revealed to us. Let's go see." And they went. And they found the babe. They found Him there. And they said, they went away rejoicing, telling what they had seen. Now folks, the Lord is able to transform, keep, and hold those who cannot help themselves. The longer I live, the longer I realize that I fall in some of these categories. I can't help myself. I have very little power or ability to help myself. If I will be helped, it'll be because I have allowed my will to be yielded to God's will, and He has the ability to help me. It's that way with every human being that will be changed. I have to make the decision I want to be changed. I have to make the decision that I will accept it. And I have to make the decision that I want to allow the power that God has established through that little child that grew up to be the Lord and Savior. You all know the story of Christ. We all know what He went through. We all know what He endured. We all know that He went to all the way to that terrible cross. We all know that He was crucified there. We all know that that was an ugly scene to look on through natural eyes. That was an awful scene to behold. People could hardly bear to look upon what they had before their eyes that day. It was an awful thing to see. There were those who had great confidence in Him and said, "Oh, we had hoped. Because all of their dreams had been shattered. Everything that they thought, humanly speaking, everything that their eyes could see, came crashing down. You remember what Thomas said after Christ was resurrected? The disciples said, "I've seen Him." And, no. "I'll never believe it. I won't believe it till I put my hand in His side and my fingers in His nail prints in His hands and feet." And Christ showed Himself to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, put your hand out. Go ahead. Put your head in my side. Put your fingers in these prints in my hands." Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said, "Thomas, blessed are you, for you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That category, then we fall in that category, folks, because we never saw it. We never witnessed any of that. But yet, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, we have it presented to us so that we can believe. We can hear these stories, read these stories, and it's more than just a story. It's a reality to us because we find that when we subject ourselves and submit ourselves to the words in these books, we find that there is something greater than me. There's something bigger than me. There's something that I can't comprehend. There's something that I can't understand. But I know it's real, and I know that when I feel in my deepest distress and my loneliest hour, and I feel the weight of grief hanging heavy on my head, that I can sue to one that has the ability to cause me to be different. It might not change the circumstances around me, but can change the way I respond and react. Lord, help me. He's able to transform and keep and hold those who cannot help themselves. I need to be transformed. I need to be kept. I need to be held. Because I am weak and frail, and I need something stronger than me to hold me and keep me and help me in this world in which I live today. And so do you. So do you. Now I want to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Remember, the little burden here is prized possessions. Matthew 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Their real question was, if I can expand on this, "Now, Lord, when you come to set up your kingdom, how are you going to set it up here? Who's going to be, what's the order going to be? Who will be your ambassadors? Who will be your secretary of state? Who will be your spokesperson? Who will be the one that is responsible for seeing to it that your wishes and desires are carried out?" They really were somewhat jockeying for position in an earthly kingdom. That's what it amounted to. That's what's unsaid in these words. Jesus looked at that, and I can't begin to imagine how maybe sometimes He was a little frustrated about their inability to really understand. But He just kept plodding away. He just kept working. He just kept consistently working with them, teaching them, instructing them, until the point, and it got down pretty close to the end before they were ever really able to understand some of these things. But he said, they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to speak about that for just a moment. We would like to say, every one of us, that we're not prejudiced. But I'd like to ask you for just a moment, stop and think and be honest. Let's be honest. Am I not prejudiced? If I saw a man come in goodly apparel, dressed really nice, and I saw a man come in rags, tattered, unkempt, unclean, unshaven, slovenly dressed, how would I look at these two individuals? Let's be honest with ourselves. Would I place one above the other in status and importance? How does God look at it? How does God look at it? God looks at it as both of them having a soul. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I've been guilty myself. I still am. I have to say, Lord, help me. I have to say, Lord, whenever I see these situations, as my natural eye beholds these things, Lord, will you help me? Will you help me, Lord, to not have these kinds of predetermined thoughts and ideas about the men and women that you have created? And help me, Lord, to be able to have look on with a sense of equality, knowing that it's the Scripture in Acts, I think it's 17:26, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. One blood, red blood that flows through all of humanity. But in many ways, if we'll just be honest with ourselves, we can sometimes be a little bit prejudiced about the way we look at things. Part of that is because of our upbringing. Things that I have been taught as being acceptable and unacceptable, right, wrong. I have a predetermined idea about those kinds of things. It's not that I've been taught right or wrong, one way or the other, but that's what I've been taught. And I may be right, and I may be wrong in the way that I assess those kinds of situations. So Jesus said, concerning this situation, brought a little child, set him in the midst of them, and said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A little child hasn't had the opportunity yet to form their opinions and prejudices of the things in life. Now that starts happening pretty early. You know why it does? Because of what they're taught. Because of what they hear. Because of what they see from you and me and those around them. They pick up those things. It doesn't take them long to start picking up those things. I say, God, help us. Help me. All right? So he took this little child and set him in the midst of them. And he said, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. This was going beyond just a little child now. He was going now into the realm of my children. Not just a little child. But whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all children of the highest. If we have been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, may God help us to be children of the highest. And when we are children of the highest, folks, those who have lived in this world and who still live in this world, who have faced the most difficult obstacles of some of the things we wrote on the board last Sunday, the most heinous acts committed against them, abuses, neglects, those who have found, those who have been in those places and have found the ability to rise above that through the grace of God and the saving power of Jesus Christ and the merits of His blood are His jewels. Everyone who has been saved through the power of the blood of Jesus is a jewel to Him. Now, I'm going to say, if you'll allow me, and you may say, well, preacher, that's a little prejudice for you even to say this. But I'm going to say to you, I am just, in my own mind, I can see that there are some jewels that shine brighter than others because of what they've been through, what they've had to experience in life, what they've witnessed, the things that they have had laid upon them, and they overcame. They were able to overcome in spite of all the opposition that humanity could throw in their path. They were able to rise above that and be still a child of God and maintain their relationship with the Lord. And they are His jewels. And He said, my children, these are my children. Folks, today, I don't know your station. I don't know what all you've been through in life. Only you know the things that have been said about you, the things that have been heaped upon you. Only you know the times if you've been beaten by your spouse. Only you know those kinds of things. If you've been physically abused, if you've been molested, only you know those kinds of things. Many times, only you carry that through life. Maybe there is someone else that knows that you've shared it with. But I know one that does know, and it is the Lord that does know everything about you and me. And if we are able to maintain a way, a place of salvation nestled close to the Lord where we are His jewels, we are His little children, I'll tell you folks, it means something to God for His children to maintain and hold the plan of salvation that He made available to them because it came at such a high price that it means something to our Heavenly Father for those of His children to hold on even in hard places. It means something to Him for them to hold on whenever they feel like they're being overwhelmed with problems and situations and distresses, for them to hold on to that because that salvation plan means a lot to you and me, and it means a lot to God because He gave everything that could possibly be given so a soul could be saved. If only one, He gave everything that could possibly be given so that a soul could be saved. And if you're saved today, you are a beneficiary of all the power that God has to redeem a soul, save a soul, keep a soul, hold a soul, and help it to make God, make heaven in the end through God. So then He says these words. And to me, as I read this, this kind of opened up some things in my mind about how the Lord looks at how much His salvation means to Him, and how much it means to His children, and how much it means to Him for someone to do something to cause one of His little children to be offended. Look at these words. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Do you think the Lord doesn't have prized possessions? Do you think that He doesn't take note of when something happens to one of His prized possessions? Do you think He doesn't take note for that individual that causes one of His prized possessions to be offended? I say He does because the Word of God spells it out to me right here. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, I gave everything I could for this child. I gave everything I could for them to have an opportunity to meet Me in peace. And you have the audacity to put yourself in a place to cause them to be offended toward Me? Shame on you. It was better for you. Oh, it would be better for you if you had a millstone hanging about your neck and you were thrown in the sea than to offend one of My little ones. Folks, I'll tell you, I look at this two ways. One, the love, mercy, long-suffering, and favor of God and giving all that He possibly could do for His children, for those who will be saved. And I look at the wrath of God to fall upon those who cause one of His prized possessions to be offended. Folks, that salvation plan means a lot. And it doesn't. I believe that God does not take lightly those who spurn it, those who make it less than, and those who do everything they can to try to deceive little ones, you and me. We're living in a world today, folks, that's doing everything that it can do to undermine foundational, fundamental truths, to cause there to be questions. And I shudder to think how God looks at the things that are happening in this world when He considers His prized possessions. I gave everything I could to save that child. I did everything I could. And you have the audacity to throw your things in their path and try to steal my child. And I believe that every time that one of those children is offended before God, and if one backslides, we have to exercise that choice ourselves, folks. But I say the Lord doesn't hold us guiltless if we have any responsibility in causing that to happen to one of His little ones. He said in Malachi, in that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Those things are valuable to the Lord. You are valuable to the Lord. You mean something to Him. He gave everything that could be given so that you and I could be saved. And He doesn't take it lightly when we do things, or the world does things, or whoever does things to cause His little ones to be offended. So my little burden this morning is two-pronged. One, thank God He has prized possessions. Thank God we can be prized possessions. And number two, be careful to not offend any one of His prized possessions. I don't have wrath of God, but He does. And He looks down upon that situation, folks, and I can't blame Him one iota. When I think of all that was done and all that was given, when I think of Christ hanging on that cross, struggling for every breath of air, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, struggling, about to breathe His last and one more comes. About to breathe another, just and another one comes. Thinking, when will it be done? When will it be done? And Jesus hanging on that cross saying, my God, why have You forsaken Me? I tell you, those things ring in my ears. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Look at the situation I'm in here. People that love Me have walked away. These people are wagging their head at Me and say, you that said You could destroy the temple, do something about yourself. Go ahead. Making fun, mocking the Son of God. Guess who's looking on the whole time? The Father. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, if any man offends one of these little ones, it's better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Folks, let's remember, thank God for the benefits that we have through God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But let's not take it lightly. Let's not presume upon it. Let's be serious about it, because God is. Amen. You pray for me.